But that's what libraries have always been. You know, we're an access point. And the kinds of questions and needs that are coming through the door is changing.
Yeah,
but
okay.
We are still an access point. And, you know, we can still sift through the noise on the internet and get you to the source that you're looking for more directly. We can help people that have never really, that aren't so web literate. Maybe they don't have internet at home. We can direct you to find the experts that you need. We can corral resources if you're trying to be a self-taught designer. You know, we're gonna show you, you know, some best resources for that. So, you know, the resources, the names of the resources may change, the free access point and, you know, the great public space that libraries provide will always be the same.
As cities grow and change over time, it is important that our institutions grow and adapt as well. And today, we're going to explore how one institution is evolving to serve our city as it grows into the 21st century, the Chattanooga Public Library. My guest is Mary Barnett. Mary is the Public Relations Coordinator for the library, and today she is our guide as we explore a public space that is at least as much about tech as it is text. This is the Camp House Podcast, and I'm your host, Matt Busby. That's actually what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about our downtown, well, not just the downtown, but our public library system here in Chattanooga. And, you know, if you ever listen to the very end of the podcast, which I have a feeling most people don't make it to the very, very end, but I have slowly been talking about the Chattanooga Public Library, because as I've been coming here, I feel like I've been learning more and more and more about what you guys do. You know, since I started recording the podcast here, I bring my kids on a fairly regular basis, especially the second floor. And those are really a lot of the things we're going to be getting into today. And really, you know, I feel like reintroducing almost the public library to the public. Not that, you know, everything you guys have been doing hasn't been out there, but really to my audience, being able to introduce them to everything the library has to offer, which is far more than any of them imagine.
Well, and I appreciate that, but you know, there's a lot of folks that don't know that don't know how much we've reinvented ourselves in the last 5 years, but. If you start having children and starting a family, that is definitely a reason that will bring you back into the library if you haven't been back to your childhood library in a couple of decades. But I'm happy to talk about all the other reasons why, you know, we're kind of the 21st century library and not your grandma's library.
Yeah, and I really want to get into that today. But before we go there, tell us a little bit about yourself, Mary.
Oh, well, my name is Mary Barnett, and I've been with the Chattanooga Public Library for, in February will be 5 years. I was hired by the new leadership here when they were looking at the fourth floor attic space and were assembling a team to organize that project. And, you know, they hired me to do some writing for the website and to do some promotion and PR and to get that project off the ground, which is now, I would say, almost renowned.
Yeah.
Our makerspace in our downtown branch has really exploded. And keeps growing. And, you know, from there, I became sort of a special projects person around the library system to help with new projects like that and also to get the word out about what we're doing and all the changes.
Yeah, and Mary and I were just reminiscing. We actually go pretty far back because I've been booking music at the Camp House for like 6 years now. And when Nuga.com started, you were the arts and culture person.
Yeah.
So even now when I type in your name into my email, it's your old Nuga email address that pops up because we used to do so many concert things together.
Yeah, and that was a wonderful stint trying my passions and talents out as a local reporter for a new startup. That was really fun, and an arts advocate. And then, you know, coming to the library really kind of made all my passions collide. You know, it's
that's great.
Local history, it's current events, it's culture, it's public spaces, you know, it's a beautiful thing. I love libraries. I wish I had joined library career maybe even sooner. But no
well,
regrets.
Well, what's your role right now? Like, what is your title for what you do at the library?
Public Relations Coordinator.
Okay. And so it makes sense why you're on the podcast talking about this.
Sure, but what I love is also I'm not just an attractive spokesperson.
I mean, you're also a hip-hop artist from what I've heard.
Emerging. Okay. Emerging. Okay. But, you know, it's very hands-on here. So I love my role that I do get to kind of follow behind the awesome librarians here and help get the word out about what they're doing. But I also get to dig in and participate. And so there's plenty of stuff that I get to work on and speak about. And everyone is playing multiple roles here.
Well, you know, as we're, you know, beginning to talk about what the library is, you know, I really want to go back and talk about the history of our Chattanooga Public Library. How long has it been here? How long has Chattanooga actually had a public library?
So the Chattanooga Public Library is actually one of the original Andrew Carnegie libraries.
Oh, wow.
And has been in the city. It was established in 1905.
Okay.
And it's bounced around in locations didn't become the system it is now until about the 70s. When they decided to build the downtown branch, which
opened on Broad Street where we're sitting.
Yeah. This giant brutalist beast of a building was built for the library to be a library. And that was in 1976. And from there, they started the branches and establishing branches in Eastgate, Northgate, and then most recently, South Chattanooga.
Okay, so there's four branches of the Chattanooga Public Library.
Yes. There's four branches, physical locations, but we're also of the mind here that, you know, people can use the library online. People can use the library services. You know, we can bring library services to you. So there's a lot of outreach. We go into daycare centers, YFD centers. We're always trying to find ways to be where the people are and you know, either sign people up for library cards or deliver a program or something in a park. So it's not just about the branches.
Yeah, my son's in kindergarten at Brown this year, and he has his own library card now.
Heck yeah.
They signed him up at school and everything. He was able to sign up there.
And that's something awesome that we've been doing. I think this is our fourth year.
Yeah.
We really wanted to find a way to get every public school children to have a library card, because if you don't live in the city limits of Chattanooga as of you know, a handful of years ago, you don't have a public library. So
Right. We
didn't want that, you know, sort of geopolitical climate to impact the students who are in the schools that need a public library. So
Yeah. We're
working with the Hamilton County Department of Education, and every new school year, every kid can have their library card renewed, and we give them to them for free.
So anybody with an HCDE, any student, can get a Chattanooga Public Library card, even if they live in another municipality like, you know, Red Bank, is that
Yes. Technically
separate, that kind of thing.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
If
That's
you're a
really
public
good.
School student, you are going to get your card renewed when you re-enroll for school. And if you're new to that school or you're new to the area and you're only getting in public school now, you will have an opportunity through your school librarian to sign up and get yours free every single September.
Yeah. Well, I definitely have friends in Red Bank who take advantage of the fact their child is in kindergarten and they come to the public library.
Well, yeah. There's that too. We know families sometimes will share that card, but that's good. They have a library.
Well, let me put it this way. They're always posting children's books that their daughter picks out. There we go.
Good.
There we go.
Good.
We're safe. Well, you know, speaking of children checking out books and parents coming and checking out books, I know you guys just celebrated a milestone here recently that in the fiscal year 2017, you guys actually circulated, was it 1 million books or 1 million items?
1 million items.
Okay, what does that mean?
Right, so that includes books, certainly, but it also includes sewing machines.
Sewing machines?
Sewing machines,
okay.
Wi-Fi hotspots, passes to the Chattanooga Zoo, digital circulations as well, things you can download and stream. Yeah,
yeah.
So that was a nice kind of barometer of success for us, because, you know, if things aren't circulating, that means people aren't using your library.
Right.
And we do a lot of things that people might not know about that make sure we have an active, responsive collection of things that people want. And
Having
that data that crossed that million milestone told us we're on the right track. We are getting the things that people want to use because they're using them.
Well, and I think that gets into some of the broader questions surrounding what is the purpose and why do libraries exist? You know, I think most of my listeners, you know, myself included, when you think of the library, you think of one thing, and that's books, right?
Get over it.
Well, exactly. Your guys' definition of why a library exists. What is your philosophy of why libraries exist within cities?
Well, that answer is going to be particular to a city.
Right. So, okay, well, let's focus on ours.
Libraries exist to reflect their community, right? And they exist to provide access to things that you might not normally have access to. And in a transitioning society, the definition of what that means changes. So we have the internet. People can get their books from multiple sources. Not everyone can afford, you know, an account or a book budget or whatever. So we always will provide that service to provide free access to books, whether that's downloads or physical copies that you come in and check out. That's always going to be the thing. But when we develop a space like a makerspace, where we're investing in high-end, high-tech, expensive kind of machinery and gear that folks can use but might not afford at home, things like the 3D printer, a laser cutter, CNC router, you know, a vinyl cutter. People might want to try that technology and see if it's something that they want to explore. And we are that point where they can stick a toe in and say, huh, I may want to invest in this. Or I've got an idea for a prototype I'd like to build on this machine. Now, you got to find a vendor that's going to print out your prototype every single iteration of it.
Right.
That's going to add up to a lot of money. You come to the library with your library card, we're going to charge you 6 cents a gram for example, for the 3D printing material, and no charge to use the machine. So you can iterate on your ideas or try something out yourself at a very low cost.
Okay.
And we love that idea of providing access to technology and things that you might not want to invest in yourself.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes to like, you know, asking the question, what is the sort of underlying philosophy of what you guys are doing? I mean, I really see the public library, especially now, is, you know, just this center of public knowledge and learning. And typically our, you know, imaginations are limited to books within that. But like what I see you guys doing is really stretching that definition, stretching the imagination and the limits of what it means to be a center of public learning, a center of public exploration of knowledge and that kind of thing. I mean, does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds right. But that's what libraries have always been. You know, we're an access point. And the kinds of questions and needs that are coming through the door is changing.
Yeah,
but
okay.
We are still an access point. And, you know, we can still sift through the noise on the internet and get you to the source that you're looking for more directly. We can help people that have never really, that aren't so web literate. Maybe they don't have internet at home. We can direct you to find the experts that you need. We can corral resources if you're trying to be a self-taught designer. Mm-hmm. You know, we're gonna show you, you know, some best resources for that. So, you know, the resources, the names of the resources may change, the free access point and, you know, the great public space that libraries provide will always be the same.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, the way you're describing it is that you're just being responsive to the way things are changing.
Exactly.
And I think that's what the rest of this podcast is going to be about, is how has our downtown public library sort of been responsive to the changes of the last 5 years. And I think the rest of this podcast is going to focus on the downtown branch. But if there's anything that you want to talk about with the other branches, then please let's get into that as well. And, you know, I think really the best way to sort of approach this when we're talking about the downtown library is really for us to go floor by floor.
Okay.
And almost talk about the renovations that have happened over the past few years and some of the focus that happens on each floor. Obviously, floor 4 is going to be very different from floor 1. I mean, that's the case in most libraries, but I think it's particularly true in our downtown library. And so there's 4 floors. So let's start with floor 1. You know, when we're talking about the items or the things out there that people want to explore beyond just books, but those points of knowledge. Let's go through that. Tell us about floor 1.
Well, the first floor of the downtown branch is kind of what we would equate as a downtown branch. So it kind of has all the components that a neighborhood branch would have. We've got supersized because it's the main branch and we're able to do some other things and flex a little bit. So something really unique about the downtown branch is our cafe, the Shush Cafe. And if you walk down Broad Street in front of the library on the sidewalk there, you're going to see our giant Shush letters screaming Shush at you. And we love that. But you can get a cappuccino while you're checking out your books. And that's really cool. And you can, or you can get a cappuccino on your way in and, you know, head upstairs and find a quiet place to study or get your work done, whatever you're here to do. So that sets it apart and kind of sets a different tone. And then all of our public computers are on the first floor. So those are by reservation. I think there's 2-hour stints that you can have on a public computer. If people are applying for jobs, they're FaceTiming their family, they're surfing, they're killing time, whatever they're here to do. We've got a bank of many public computers that are booked all day, every single day. That is a huge resource for the community, and obviously a big need. We also still circulate DVDs. There are still DVD players out there, and you can come here and rent a movie on DVD. We still have CDs of audiobooks that you can check out, physical books. There's also passport services. We're an authorized passport acceptance facility, the Chattanooga Public Library, and we have passport agents on staff. So you can make an appointment to have your passport renewed or apply for one. What else can you do on the first floor? There's meeting space, there's an auditorium, so there's programs you can attend or host. There's the reference desk, so there's fielding all those questions. And there's quiet spots and big windows and lots of natural light, and so it's a pleasant place.
Now, you mentioned audiobooks in there too. Somebody actually told me this, and I've never actually explored this, but is there an app like for smartphones that will allow you to use your library card to rent audiobooks?
Well,
that's called Hoopla or something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
So Hoopla is a vendor that we work with that works with libraries that has, it's kind of like a Netflix, I guess, but it tailors to libraries. And so you use your library card and then you have access to their licensed collection of movies, audiobooks, and music.
Okay.
And Marvel Comics, graphic novels.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff are up there, and they're constantly adding more. Just like, you know, Netflix acquires the licensing and distribution rights to certain content. All that stuff rotates through all these vendors, and Hoopla's in that mix as well.
Okay.
And so that's free with your library card.
Yeah, I'll have to definitely check that out. And, you know, you mentioned Marvel Comics and comic books and graphic novels, which naturally takes us upstairs to the second floor. And this is the floor where, you know, I've spent a lot of time, my kids love. Tell us about the second floor.
So the second floor focuses completely on youth, so 0 to 18 years old, and pretty much the second floor is if you don't have a child with you, then you got
why
no,
would you be here?
You got no business. And we will ask you if you're wandering around and you don't have a kid. Hey, can I help you? Oh, you're looking for the bathroom, or you're looking for the magazines that's not up here anymore. So that's really cool because it's a safe place for kids. And so get off the elevators, and on the right, behind those glass doors, is the children's section. And that's mainly for 0 to, I think, 8 years old, or maybe 10. And in there, what a creative playground it is in there. So much fun. I want to be 4 years old, you know, when I come to the work. And
there's that little den area where you guys read to the kids. It's just so cool.
Oh, yeah. It's got a curved wall and a beautiful mural. We've got a sort of a role-playing make-believe station. The little kids can become a fireman or a ballerina or whatever and try on costumes and play with each other and play with kids they've never met. We do baby bounce in there. There's just things hanging off the ceiling that are just fun that the librarians have made with the kids, and craft projects, and of course tons of books and computers.
Yeah. My son loves coming in and playing the computer games, and he's 6, and so they're like completely appropriate. Teaching him things like, you know, colors and letters and stuff like that. It's fun.
And then across the hall is the teen and tween section, which takes up the complete rest of the second floor. And that's another really fun, loose environment for informal learning and relationship building. And there's a Minecraft station in there. There's other video games. There's quiet spots for studying and kids that want to, you know, read alone. There's a lot of open space for kids to walk up and try something new. We've got all sorts of activities just set up on tables that you can explore.
Yeah, there's all kinds of crafts. There's always some sort of new craft. Like one time you guys had a wind tunnel set up where kids came in and basically made parachutes and tried to get them floating there. We come in, there's a button maker. So my kids love coming in and making buttons all the time. There's so many craft things.
What's happening is there's some sort of secret thing you're learning and you don't even know.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like the wind tunnel stuff and science and...
Yeah, and there, you know, there's Lego projects being built. There's other towers being built, learning, you know, informal sort of engineering concepts. You just never know. Which keeps them coming back, and it's really a fun place to just wander around if you're a teenager.
Well, and you know, the other part of the one part of the second floor that isn't necessarily for teenagers is the room we're sitting in right now, and that's the studio.
Yeah.
So talk about the studio a little bit more.
Studio is amazing. It opened in July. It's a professional, industry standard equipped recording studio, and it has a huge control room because it's an educational facility. That was sort of the overarching theme we wanted to do when we decided to initiate this project, was that it would be an educational facility. So the control room is, you know, probably 3 or 4 times the size of a usual control room because we've got students in there learning audio engineering. There's a drum room. There's a live room we're in recording this podcast. So kids are in here learning, you know, the different kinds of microphones. Why choose one over the other? How all the patching works with the connection? What the signal flow is from that microphone to the board and back again? All the decisions you have to make in those environments. And they're also doing projects in here, so they're learning how to produce a song from scratch to finish. And we have this community of artists in Chattanooga are so generous. They're coming in here to be sort of our stand-in musicians that kids can learn from. And so we ask, you know, we've got our education partners with Dynamo Studios in here teaching.
Right, yeah.
And we've got musicians that will come in and work with them and work with us and say, okay, yeah, you can learn how to record my song. I'll come in and do my vocals so you can learn how to record vocals. The next week, maybe that band's drummer's going to come in and the kids are going to learn how to track the drums. Yeah. And in the end, they're going to piece together that entire song and have it mastered and hear it and say, wow, I did that. And go through that whole process in a fun, creative environment. It's spectacular.
Yeah, when I started recording here, I think it was in the summer, and there was always students here helping to engineer the podcast.
Yeah.
And watching the recording and setting things up. And now I record in the mornings, so now school's in session, so there's not as many students around. But it was always really fun. And most of them knew far more about audio stuff than I do. And you know, I've been doing a podcast for 1.5 years, and I can't tell you how to patch a mic.
It's amazing. Well, it's similar to, you know, what they say about the kids these days and technology. Yep, yep. You know, they're just not intimidated.
Right.
You know, they're not hung up on all the things that are already clogging their head and what they don't know. They're just there. They're there to learn and absorb it all. And they do. And then they own it. And we've been so impressed.
There's a real sense when the kids come in here that this is a true opportunity. Like, they know this is not common. And I think a lot of them understand how special it is to be able to be part of this. But you know, if you guys go to the Chattanooga Public Library website, which is
chattlibrary.org, and that's CHATT library.org.
And there is a specific tab at the top of the page called The Studio, where you can click on that and you can really learn about the equipment that's in here and also the kind of programming they have. Because, I mean, you guys do programming in this for everything from kids to adults.
We do. And something that is hopefully getting ready to be announced by the time this airs is sort of broadening what that is and offering open studio blocks.
Okay.
To musicians and producers who have their own projects that they just need a space to work
in.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's going to fill up so fast.
And that's been, you know, and part of what we do here at the library, and we'll talk about that when we talk about the fourth floor, is, well, you said before, we're responsive.
Yeah.
So we don't always start a new initiative with everything mapped out because we want to put it out there and see what comes back.
Yeah.
And what we've done here in the studio is get back a lot of feedback that there's a lot more uses that people want other than the classes that we're offering. And we love to hear that. And we love to be able to respond to that. And one of the top things is, open studio blocks. So that won't be tied to, you know, a beat making class. It'll just be a reservation you have with your library card. We may run you through some paces just to sort of check your certification off the list. Like, okay, he knows how to run this equipment. He's on his own, or you know, whatever he needs. And then you've got 2 hours of studio time to record your interview or whatever it is that you're doing. And just that as a public resource is really amazing.
Oh, it's incredibly unique. I mean, like, this is one of those things, like, how many other libraries have this kind of a studio?
There's one in Florida that has a pretty epic setup, and they're actually kind of a new media center.
Okay.
Most libraries, when they try to do something in the recording arts, are scaling it way back.
Right.
We actually had a lot of financial support with two foundations here locally in Chattanooga that wanted to see this. And that speaks to reflecting the community, because what's happening in Chattanooga in terms of developing a music economy, and there's a lot of wind under that right now.
Yeah.
And marketing the city as a music city and trying to draw acts here, and it was the right time for a public project like this. So the local foundation saw that as, oh, that's a good component to have in the mix of trying to develop this economy and develop new talent who can then continue to feed that economy when they go professional or whatever. So it was the right project at the right time in the right place.
Yeah, this place is definitely state-of-the-art. Like I said, I've been booking music for 6 or 7 years now at the Camp House. I've worked with Roland boards and Behringer boards, set up microphones, and this place terrifies me. It's so nice. Yeah.
See, and you can take a class and get demystified and build your confidence and learn new skills. And, you know, it's for everybody.
Yeah. I'll let your students just run it, and that'll be fine with me. Well, okay, so yeah, that's the second floor. And again, if you have kids, you need to bring them down here. If you're interested in music at all, you need to check out the studio. But let's go upstairs one more. Tell me about the third floor of the library.
The third floor of the library is the local history and genealogy department. So that is where historians and researchers are gathering and doing their thing. Genealogy researchers come here looking for, you know, their ancestors in the Civil War, their Cherokee roots. Chattanooga is at the crossroads of so much American history that there's just a lot there. And so we're always hosting, you know, people that are researching for a book, or they're researching their own family, or they're traveling here because they've got some kind of lineage to Chattanooga. So they come to the library to dig up whatever it is they're looking for. That's a huge popular service, the genealogy research. And then there's our archives, which consists of physical objects, historical photos, some that has been digitized and are online. And we're also now producing physical exhibits. So we've got one in the works right now called Builders and Founders.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really cool interactive exhibit on the third floor, which is going to really kind of pull that department into the the current realm.
Yeah.
It's not just dusty books and documents and old tax records. You know, this is going to be a really exciting way to learn about old stuff.
Right. Now, honestly, that sounds awesome. I've actually used the third floor. I gave a speech to YPAC, a year ago. And used a lot of the books up there to talk about the Renaissance in Chattanooga. And also, I was a history major in college. Uh-huh. And as my senior thesis, I wrote like an economic history of my county I grew up in, which is, when I say it, it sounds so nerdy, but I loved it. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, man, when I first moved to Chattanooga, which was back in the early 90s, and I was trying to figure out, you know, who was who and what did I want to do, I spent so much time in the local history department using their clipping file.
Hmm.
Which is not digitized. It's all in these manila folders and these old, you know, metal file cabinets. But you ask them to pull a clipping file on a subject, and that'll be every news article that was ever written on that subject locally.
Wow.
And it's just a great way to dig up like little nuggets of who's who and what happened and the chronology of things that might not exist in some kind of like narrative form.
Right, right.
There's so much there. It's so much fun.
Well, when is that exhibit going to be open?
Hopefully by spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that'll be really exciting. And again, I think that's something I could probably take my kids to, right? Like it would be.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's meant to grab people, you know, at different different levels.
Cool. All right. Well, moving up. Speaking of dusty old books, let's talk about the fourth floor. And tell me what the fourth floor used to be, and then we can talk about what it is now. Because I know you helped volunteer, you know, to help clear out that space. But what was there, or what has been there for 30 years?
Yeah, so before I was an employee of the Chattanooga Public Library, I was a reporter, like you said, and had done a story on what was, they were trying to make this library a gig library. It hadn't been gig enabled yet. Okay. So the story was kind of like, what was happening to pull this library into the 21st century? And the new director and deputy director, you know, when they got here, they saw 14,000 square foot of attic space that could be public space. And what was in there was, you know, what I kind of like to describe as, you know, highly cataloged hoarding. It's librarians after all, so it's going to be organized. But yeah. it was floor to ceiling, 40 years of old technology, old furniture, some really cool vintage furniture that is now back in, not to use a library word, circulation, but, you know, you know, some of those wire basket chairs that you see around the downtown branch are vintage from the 70s. I mean, those are true collector items.
Yeah.
And they were part of the interior design for the opening of this building. And then they became impractical and stored upstairs. And, you know, our style savvy, fashion forward leadership was like, oh, no, those are coming out. We need to have those in the public. You know, old reel-to-reel machines, old library costumes from programs, and, you know, construction paper projects and everything. Wow. We will not throw anything away. So, you know, that stuff was kind of then subcategorized into, like, okay, what's salvageable? What's really just junk? And since we're an entity of government, we're part of the city, you can't just throw things away. There's a process of surplusing and then warehousing and then et cetera, et cetera. But eventually, it all got cleared out. And they went in and refinished the concrete floors. And
which they actually did throughout the entire library, right? Because it used to be all carpet, right?
Well, that was done on the fourth floor, you know, 5 years ago.
Okay.
The rest of the library was renovated this summer.
Okay, yeah.
And that was the first renovation in 40 years. So. And ironically, the fourth floor was a part of that renovation. So it still got its raw kind of warehouse quality to it. But we actually at least now have acoustic panels on one end of the room for events, which we didn't open with that. It was very raw space. And then the maker space is on the other half of the room.
Okay, yeah. So it used to be this storage space, but you guys have transformed it into public space. And what you're using that for is, I mean, you know, I know it as just being a maker space. So tell us about the fourth floor, everything that's up there, and how you guys use it. Because it's not just a maker space. Like you said, it's an event space. So there's a lot of life that happens up there.
Well, we use it for a couple of things, and for all of those things you just mentioned, and I can get into. But we also initially used it as our own beta space. So we were exploring the use of 3D printers. And we opened it simply with 3D printers, nothing else, as we figured out what we were going to do up here. And we wanted to see what the response would be. But we also wanted to learn, okay, if we're going to offer 3D printing services at a library, how does that work? What is the service model? How do you make reservations? And so what the fourth floor did with the public kind of openly and say, hey, we're going to try this out with you. Forgive us if we stumble. We're figuring this out together in public. Help us figure this out so we can tweak it and make it a better service. And then from there, the library can make decisions about deploying that service out to the branches. So we can figure it out on the fourth floor, you know, run through all the errors and kinks and mistakes and service model issues, get it down pat and say, okay, we're ready to offer this service elsewhere. So we use it as our own kind of test launch space. The public uses it for that as well. And like I was saying earlier about, you know, we had a group of jewelry designers and they didn't know if they wanted to invest in their own laser cutter and they were coming up with their templates. And so they used ours to produce a line of jewelry and they used it so much that they realized it was worth investing
in
one themselves.
Yeah.
So our idea of success is you don't need us anymore. You know, you've outgrown this,
right.
And now you're investing in yourself based on the fact that you did your own research at the library and you know, tried some things out, and oh, now you realize that, yeah, it would be good for me to invest in my own laser cutter. Or you know what? I'm going to do all my storefront window signs on the library's vinyl cutter because I don't have $1,000, you know, a month to have a professional do that. And it is actually, you know, reachable. So we've got 3D printers, which is what we started with. We've got a zine library, which is independent publishing magazines, you know, self-made magazines.
Right, right. So you guys have things to help put those together, or it's just a catalog of magazines people have published?
Both. Okay, we have a little lab up there, and then we have a library of zines.
Okay.
And we have a zine fest every May to stoke that collection and also foster more interest locally in the form. There's a new photo studio.
Okay.
That just opened during Startup Week this year. Well, 2017. Wow, what year is it?
Yeah. Well, it's still 2017 for a little bit. While we're recording this, it is 2017. This will be released in 2018.
And so the photo studio is really cool because it's also self-service with some assistance. We can help you get started, but you can come up there and take a headshot, you know, if you need a new bio picture, if you're on a speaking circuit or you're an entrepreneur that, you know, needs something on your website, you can go up there. We've got professional lighting, professional gear. We'll help you get started there. We've got power tools. We've got a sewing. We've got a sewing lab. That's got four sewing machines, a serger, an embroidery machine, classes, beginner classes, inspiration projects. We've got partnerships with Etsy and Eileen Fisher in the sewing lab. So we get a lot of their off-season scraps to deconstruct and make projects out of, but really nice fabrics. What else is up there? We've got a virtual reality booth.
Nice. Wow. Yeah.
A heat press.
What does that do?
So you can make, you can actually use a special vinyl and make a design out of the vinyl and then attach a, like a iron it to your shirt.
Okay. Okay.
So in the music economy conversation, we see this sort of full circle.
T-shirts are huge in the music economy.
Well, so you come here, maybe you're doing an interview in our studio, or maybe you're learning something about producing in our studio, or you're a kid, or you're going to, you know, you're Chattanooga Girls Rock, a teenager taking camp and deciding if you want to be a musician. You come to the library, you learn about some production, they're going to grab you, go upstairs and say, all right, now let's make our band t-shirts and let's make our band buttons and let's do a zine that we can pass out at our show, you know. And so we try to get all the creative juices flowing. So, you know, kids and whoever's interested can kind of surround that. And then we've got event space up on the fourth floor. Like half the space is event space. And so we host a lot of movie screenings, talks, community forums, town halls, you know, basically.
At Startup Week, you guys do a ton of stuff up there. I've been to quite a few events that you've hosted up there for Startup Week. And other stuff. I can't remember. I think I did something. There was something with... it was an education event that I came to and attended up there. You guys are hosting. I mean, I think there's a lot of, you know, there's the fifth floor of the Edney that hosts a ton of events. But I think right behind them is the fourth floor of the library. You guys do a lot up there.
Definitely. And I think we share a lot of audiences, you know, with the Enterprise Center and the what's being offered at the Edney. And, you know, those folks have been so good to us and in fact helped really incubate the fourth floor as a concept way back when we were first starting. And so we relied on the startup community to help us be a startup.
Yeah.
And then we got our sea legs and started rolling and now we're constantly sort of feeding each other, you know, events and people and whatever the needs are. So if, you know, if you don't find a space over there, you might come over here and vice versa. It's fun.
Well, anything else with the fourth floor?
It's free to use, you know, like you don't need a library card to come hang out there and explore. If you actually want to do anything that uses consumable material like 3D printing material or some of the vinyl, there'll be a small charge, you know, like I said, 6 cents a gram on the 3D printed material, you know, on your library card. But you can come up there and try any of the things at no cost and you know, just play around or just hang out. It's a co-working space. We have a lot of people that just, you know, chill and bring their laptops too.
Well, I mean, what else do you guys have coming up? Because I know you guys have a conference that you're pretty excited about. coming up in January.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So we've got the Creative Entrepreneurs Conference. This is something we're doing new this year.
Okay.
And we do plug into Startup Week, and we do a lot of work with craft entrepreneurship throughout the year. Etsy is a big program here at the library. We've got like an Etsy starter workshop that happens almost once a month, always fills up. We also have other little small business workshops that would happen throughout the year downtown.
Yeah, actually, let's pause before you talk about the conference and tell me about the different kinds of classes, because like we talked about the studio a little bit, but now you guys offer like an Etsy 101 type thing. What are some of the classes that happen within the Chattanooga Public Library?
Oh, boy. So, well, we've got a lot of typical classes. So a lot of, like early learning things, story times, toddler times.
Yeah.
A lot of things that are going to help you with like young readers and to get your child early on starting a love of books, and just different things that incorporate music and physical play and all kinds of things that help stimulate learning for the youngest brains.
Yeah.
And then we'll have stuff that's exploratory for teenagers. So there's a chess ninja group that meets, so you can learn how to play chess and meet other people that are playing chess and then come out, hang out and play chess at the library. You can do Minecraft. There's sewing, so what it's called. So what? It's a project-based learning weekly drop-in class for beginning sewers. So they're always going to be like, so you might be making a zipper pouch that you're going to take home. Well, you're going to learn how to lay in a zipper. You're going to learn how to hem. You're going to learn about interior seams. There's several things you're going to learn that are really simple to get you trying to sew.
Yeah.
And then you have this fun little thing that you're going to take home, sort of make and take. And there's the Etsy Success Workshop Series, which is basically how do you get started on Etsy? Maybe you're just exploring it, or maybe you've got a craft item that you're ready to now go public with. How do you get started there? What are the best ways to make sure you're discovered? Search, product photography, all those kinds of things are addressed. And, you know, that class usually fills up, and I think the capacity is 20. So there's always seems to be folks exploring the Etsy model as a way to supplement their income or get their crafts out into the world. So that's a popular class. And of course the studio is, you know, having all kinds of classes on recording engineer, full session recording,
beat making,
digital music, hip hop hour, acoustic guitars, you know, all these things that are really niche-y.
Yeah.
But everything needs something different to learn to,
sure,
you know, master that. So, and you know, just kind of an open studio where you can just come in and ask questions.
Okay, so those are some of the classes. And again, really, you need to check out the library's website to learn more about those and when they are and that kind of thing. But let's get back to the Creative Entrepreneurs Conference coming up in January. What's the date?
Saturday, January the 27th. And I think it's going to be like an 8 a.m. to 5 or 4 p.m. kind
okay.
of thing. So we've got
it's gonna be a full day.
It's going to be a full day, but we've got a full lineup of really impressive presenters, and including VaynerMedia, who are, you know, social media gurus all across the land, and they happen to have an office also in Chattanooga,
right?
in addition to their New York office, Gary Vaynerchuk is a really well-respected and high-energy thought leader in this space, and he's got a team of people here that the library is working with now in Chattanooga on our own social media strategies and ways to get the word out. But so they're going to present at the Creative Entrepreneurs Conference at the library. The Company Lab is going to be with us that day, and I think they're providing a door prize for one of their programs to
nice.
Go to someone for free. A couple of local entrepreneurs that have started businesses like retail. So we've got Mad Priest Coffee Roaster is going to be with us, and I know you know Michael and those guys.
Yeah, we're good friends.
Mad Priest is actually our provider at the Shush Cafe. So
good.
Yeah, they did a special roast for us, and so that's the secret of our beans. So he's our keynote. Hillary with Wildflower Tea Shop and Apothecary, she is going to do a talk as well, and that's another example of a business that has used a lot of the library services on the fourth floor.
Okay.
In her space to create graphics and things. She's got a great story to tell. The Brunch Collective will be with us, and that's kind of a group of women that get together for encouragement and idea sessions, and the In Vivo Creative are going to be with us, and I believe they focus on marketing.
So is that going to be free?
It's free.
Okay, fantastic. And is that going to take place on multiple levels, or is that like going to be on the fourth floor that day?
That's all going to be on the fourth floor.
Okay, cool.
And so the presenters will all be in the event space, and at some point there's going to be the fourth floor is also going to be a part of the presentation. So I think there'll be sort of a petting zoo-ish kind of walk through the fourth floor. So anyone who attends, who is ready to be thinking about these things, needs to know about the resources that are just, down the hall.
Yeah, and, I really love following this up because, the last episode we released in 2017 was with Kevin Cherick, and it was all about a life of entrepreneurship. And really a huge part of what we talked about are side hustles, right? Like a lot of people just want to have a creative outlet. They just want to find a way to make extra income. They don't necessarily want to leave their job.
Yeah.
They just want to create these side hustles that they're passionate about. And so many of the resources you're talking about can really contribute to those sort of side hustles like the Etsy store.
That's a great way to put it. That's right. Or even being the one that is providing the using our stuff and providing it to someone else. So maybe some entrepreneur doesn't actually have the time. They're out there doing their main hustle. Maybe they could hire a side hustler to get it done at the library. And it's a way to get things done, inexpensively.
Well, it's been really encouraging, being a part of the library for the last few months and being able to record my podcast here and just seeing so much of how this place has transformed over the past really 5 years since you guys began reimagining that fourth floor space. But I think all those changes now are just evident over the past year in kind of a new way. So, Mary, thank you so much for being on the podcast and really telling us, showing us how much this place has transformed and how we have this 21st century resource right in our downtown public library.
Thank you so much. Always glad to talk about the library, and come on, see us.
Thank you so much to Mary for sort of walking us through this tour of the library. I can't tell you all how much I appreciate the sort of forward thinking of our public library to really be a center of public learning for the 21st century. Really, if you are listening to this, each and every one of you are benefiting from our public library because it is there each and every week that I'm able to record this podcast. So if you haven't been to the public library in a while, it's time to check it out, especially if you have children. The second floor is full of experiments and games and crafts and, of course, books. Toward the end there, Mary and I were discussing the Creative Entrepreneurs Conference that will feature our friends at Mad Priest Coffee Roasters, as well as the folks at VaynerMedia and others. That conference is this coming Saturday, January 27th at the Downtown Library. To learn more about this one-day event, please check out their website at chatlibrary.org or follow the links down in the show notes to this episode. Also on their website, you can learn about all of the other events, such as the Etsy and studio classes that we discussed. And a special thank you to my producer for this episode, Meredith Levine. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, either on social media or through email. And you can always do that from our website at thecamphouse.com/podcast. Also, if you enjoy the show, then please subscribe and leave us a rating and a review wherever you get your podcast from. Well, thank you all for being here, and I hope you have a great week.